Okay, let's get started. The final keynote of this year's FOSDEM. As some of the older ones among you might know, you used to have to pay quite a lot of money for web server TLS certificates. And as some of you might have heard, there's this famous saying, I think Einstein said that everybody knows that you can't do something until somebody comes who didn't know that, and then they do that. And then these guys, ISRG, represented by Josh Oss here, well, they came, they created Let's Encrypt, which now serves massive amounts of web server TLS certificates for free in an automated fashion. And Josh will now walk us a bit through this 10 year of history of Let's Encrypt.
Thank you. I'm Josh. I'm the executive director and one of the co-founders of Let's Encrypt. I've been working on this for a very long time now.
I have to keep the microphone very close to your mouth.
All right, I'm going to keep it close. Before we get started, I want to take the temperature. How many people have heard of Let's Encrypt? Great. How many people have gotten a certificate from Let's Encrypt? Wow. Great. Good to know. All right, this is a quick overview of what we'll talk about today. We'll do a little, for the people who don't know how certificates work, we'll get through that very quickly. Then we'll do some history, infrastructure, and then what's coming in the future and some of the things we feel like we've learned over the past 10 years. So this is a three-slide, very quick overview of the web PKI. So ideally, when you connect to a website, you use a protocol called TLS. TLS plus HTTP gives you HTTPS. And TLS gives you two different things. It gives you encryption, which is, you know, scrambling the bits on the wire. And it also gives you authentication so that you are talking to the entity you think you're talking to. It doesn't do you a lot of good to have encryption if you have no idea who you're talking to on the other side of the encrypted line. You really need both of these things to be secure. And digital TLS certificates are the mechanism for authentication in TLS. It's how you know that you're talking to the website that you think that you're talking to. And a certificate is a digital file that basically contains the four things at the bottom. It contains the domains that it applies to. It contains the cryptographic public key for those domains. Some other stuff that we don't need to talk about. And then a signature from a CA over that content. So it's a CA signing and saying, this public key belongs to these domains. And you get these certificates from certificate authorities like Let's Encrypt, but there are dozens to 100 more out there. There are many options. And this whole ecosystem is called the Web Public Key Infrastructure, or Web PKI. We have to make it complicated with the wording. So that's probably enough details to get you through this talk. So before 2015, the Web PKI was mostly made up of complex manual processes. Even if you had the money to get a cert, it was a frustrating process for a lot of people. It was also expensive, and there were a lot of people out there who weren't really convinced of the necessity of getting certificates and enabling HTTPS. And the result of all this is that about 39% of page loads use HTTPS. Now that's page loads, but those page loads, those 39%, were really concentrated on a small number of very popular websites. So the percentage of websites, we don't know what that is or how we would have calculated that at the time, but it's a lot lower than 39%. So not a lot going on in HTTPS in 2015. So what's the problem then, right? Everybody knows that if you don't use TLS, your data is visible. That's obviously bad for some things, but you can imagine a website where the data is not sensitive at all, right? It could just be a joke with an image, and you don't care if people see that on the internet. So it's not obvious to people that encryption should be used everywhere. But the thing that I like to remind people is that traffic that is not encrypted is modifiable. So even if you're visiting a website where the content is not important in terms of privacy, you have no idea if the data that you are getting back and loading in your web browser is what actually was sent by the server. So you could be fed anything from phishing, advertising, whatever else it is. So the modifiability to me is really the biggest issue with not using encryption. And before I started Let's Encrypt, I worked on a web browser. And part of what I was supposed to do there is make the networking more secure. And if the content you're loading is not secure, you don't know for sure where the data come from or if it's even the right data or anything, working in the other parts of the network stacks, you know, it's not totally pointless, but it definitely feels like it, you know? It's putting bars on a house with no door. So that really got me thinking a lot about what do we need to do? We have to solve this problem. So we wanted a solution that would get the web close to 100% HTTPS, and we were thinking we want to get it done in 5 years or less. That 5 years seemed like, you know, the fastest amount of time within the realm of possibility. We didn't have a way to do this in 1 year for sure, but 5 years maybe. And ultimately, it comes down to the fact that there are a lot of web servers out there, and you're going to have to convince all of them to take some action. And that's going to take a lot of time, no matter what that action is. We did not want the IPv6 and DNSSEC adoption timelines. That was not acceptable. And certificates seem to be the roadblock. That seemed to be the issue. It's not that hard to just flip the switch in Nginx or Apache and turn on TLS, but you need a cert, and that's what people are missing. So we thought a lot about what are we going to do here, and the only feasible solution that we could come up with was to start a new CA. That's a lot of work. In that sense, it wasn't an ideal solution. It'd be nicer if we could have thought of something clever that got us to our goal in a faster and cheaper way, but this is what we felt like we had to do. So in 2013, we started planning. In 2014, we incorporated a nonprofit Internet Security Research Group to be the sort of home of Let's Encrypt. We got a bunch of great initial sponsors, and you know, these sponsors were really important to us. Like, these people saw the vision and believed in what we were doing way before it became a reality, and I give them a lot of credit for that. So we spent a very frantic year, you know, starting to build a CA, and I did not know how to build a CA. When we started doing this, I had to spend a lot of time on the phone with people who knew what they were doing, and it was a bit overwhelming at times. We got there, and we announced Let's Encrypt when we were far enough along that we thought, yeah, this is really going to happen. And then in 2015, we issued our first certificate. So fast forward today, we've had a lot of growth. We're serving about 500 million websites. And because each certificate can have multiple websites on it, there's a slightly lower number of certificates. That's the bar in the middle. And then the green one at the bottom is registered domains. So that would be the TLD plus one, whereas certificate active is like including all subdomains. So there's been a lot of growth. We've come a long way since 2015, and the web is much more encrypted than it used to be. So this is what our infrastructure looks like today, and we'll start with the organizational infrastructure. So ISRG has about 25 staff total, and that includes engineers, fundraising, comms, finance, management. We have three products. There's Let's Encrypt, which is by far our most well-known one. We have another one around data privacy, metrics privacy, called DiviUp. And we have a third one that deals with memory safety for critical infrastructure called Prosimo. And the total budget for our org is about $6.7 million per year. And we get a lot of our funding from corporate sponsors, individual